Thank you, Brian. Brian does a great job for us with the budget and so many other things in so many other areas, working with LTC and other things. You don't see Brian at LTC because he's back in a room keeping up with inventory, which is absolutely important and essential. He is there and working with LTC when we assemble, does a lot of other things. One of the things that he does for our congregation here, when we have individuals who are members here or who are just simply asking us for help, we try to see if they need more help than just something financial. And we ask them if they would be willing to talk with Brian and allow Brian to help them with figuring out a budget, how to properly use their money with what they have, how they can make better use of it in order to solve some of the problems that they're having. And all of those conversations that go to Brian are kept absolutely confidential and are not discussed with anyone. That reason, we don't talk about things that we do here, especially for our members, because it would be too easy for people to figure out who's having situations and who's having problems. And those are things that need to be kept quiet, need to be kept private. And Brian does a great job with that and helping those individuals and also helping keep things private, as well as the others that work with those things. I want you to go with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And I want you to think about these words that the Apostle Paul concludes this ninth chapter with. And while you're looking at it, prior to reading it, I want you to think about the phrase that he ends with. God's indescribable gift is what he calls all of this that he's talking about in this paragraph, as God's indescribable gift. What would you put in that category? What would you think about or expect to see if you were to see evidence of God's indescribable gift? What about the thank you cards that are in the bulletin every week? What about the thank you notes that you might receive from other individuals, the get well cards? What about all those groups of people that showed up to unload that van, that truck, when it came to bring us all the disaster relief stuff that we had? What about all those individuals that showed up the next day ready to meet all the people that we anticipated coming and ready to go out and take those items that we had to individuals? What about all of those individuals? And the individuals who were so disappointed that nobody came to the building, but we're so glad that we could make use of the things that we had and found places to distribute them, to the point that now everything is gone from our gym that was brought in from disaster relief, except for 30 boxes of food, which are already spoken for and will soon be distributed. And everything is gone to those individuals that were impacted by that tornado. And I can't tell you, we have no idea the number of men and women that were here to help unload that truck, get everything sorted, and start the distribution. And I have no idea of the number of men that were here to help. Oh, I do have an idea. We had eight men who helped to load the big truck to get everything out of our gym to be distributed. We had seven of those men and a few others in addition who went with us to go and to distribute to the places that we were going to distribute on Wednesday. And we had all of that job done starting at 9:30 in the morning, and we were finished by about 1:30 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's just overwhelming. I've heard it said more than once, the volunteer spirit in this congregation is incredible. And that it is. It is incredible. And Paul writes about that in this passage when he says this service you perform He's writing to a church in Corinth that was a part of that service. It was the Gentile churches all over Greece, other areas of that country, Asia Minor, that were sending a contribution to help the Christians who were Jews in the area of Jerusalem because of the famine that was there. And Paul is referring to what they were doing in this collection of funds as this service that you perform. And he describes what it accomplishes, what's being done by it. And as he thinks about it and looks at it, he is overwhelmed by it, like we should be with the things that have been accomplished here. By what you are providing and the service that you are rendering, you are supplying the needs of the Lord's people. The Bible emphasizes to us, do good to all men, but especially those of the household of faith. Those who are our fellow believers, those who belong to Christ, are our first priority and our top priority. And Paul emphasizes that in his writings. We try to help everyone that we can, but our primary emphasis always is going to be toward those who are of the household of faith. And those individuals who were helped give an overflowing expressions of thanks to God. I can't tell you how often that happened. I can't tell you how many times in all the places that we went to take the things that had been provided. The individuals who were overwhelmed by what was being given, overwhelmed that we would come, overwhelmed that we would show up, overwhelmed that we would be doing the things that we were doing, and kept and could not say enough times, thank you for this. Thank you for coming. Thank you for your help. This is wonderful. And that occurred over and over and over again, and it still does. Paul praised God for their obedience. Their obedience that went along with their confession of the good news of Jesus Christ. They did this because they believed in Jesus. They did this because they wanted to be like Jesus. They did this because they wanted to be givers of their time and givers of their energy and givers of their finances and other things in order to fulfill the likeness of Jesus Christ in their own lives. Paul saw that and he understood that. And he talked about the fact that those Jews who did not want Gentiles in, who had a history of not liking Gentiles, would now pour their hearts out to God in prayer for the joy that had been brought to them by this Gentile world. And Paul could see God's work in hand in bringing the Jews and the Gentiles together in this simple, single effort of helping one another and of doing things for one another. And so Paul describes it as, I'm trying to go back and I'm hitting the wrong one. There it goes. Paul describes it as God's indescribable gift. It's not a miracle. It's something we do. It's something we do because we love God. We love people. We want to help. It's something we do because we strive to be like Christ and because we strive to be like God. It's not anything that we would consider indescribable. It's just something we did. But Paul, writing by the Holy Spirit, says God's indescribable gift, the impact that it has and what it does. What do you consider indescribable? A gift that is indescribable. Thank you notes. Prayers on your behalf. Prayers offered by others for the good that you're doing. The thank yous that you hear from other people. All of these things are God's indescribable gift. Do you know that the greatest of God's indescribable gift is not something that we would consider a miracle, although it's the most fantastic thing you can ever consider. God's indescribable gift to us is a promise. A promise. Not miraculous thing that would be awe-inspiring, although this is. It's a promise. And the promise is this. All of your sins are forgiven and will no longer be remembered if you are in Christ Jesus. God's promise to each and every one of us. If you're in Christ, your sins are forgiven and your sins will never be remembered against you. God's indescribable gift. And God's indescribable gift in His people that do everything that they do to try to please Him, and thus, in trying to please Him, have a heart for serving other people. May we always be that way. May we always strive to be what Christ would have us to be. Are you in Christ?